Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oh my God.
What is up, everyone? What is up, everybody? Welcome in to a casual Friday edition of the That was phenomenal. Everybody, give a round of applause for the one and only Miroslav Chuk.
Mr. Miles Davis, thank you.
We got a casual Friday edition of the show for everybody, and I brought the band together. That first, of course, live from Serbia, playing the notes for us. It's Miroslav.
Dobro veče.
Dobro jutro. Or what are we in? Dobro dan over here.
It's dobro večer. Here it's dobro dan for you, yes.
All right, thank you. I'm talking to my people. I'm talking to your people as well. Over here, look at this man, live from Michael Malone's home office. I don't know how he got access to it. It's very rare. Harrison Wynn.
Yeah, we were slamming Guinnesses last night, me and Mike.
I love it, man. The great name drop. Over here, I got Brendan Vogt.
It looks like he's based in Connecticut, but he's running for governor in New Jersey.
I'm actually in an undisclosed location in Southern California.
Dude, I think everyone appreciates that regional Eastern humor.
That's right.
We're like, that's exactly what that looks like.
Zero people related to that. Zero.
Yeah. And then over here, I've got D-Line Co. You guys probably know him better as Eric.
Does anyone really know me, do you think?
You've used that one before. You got
to. Well, then you need to vary up your intro because I work organically. When you say something, it triggers something in my brain. You need to switch it up. Otherwise, I'm going to get stuck in a rut.
Sounds like an excuse. I'm throwing wide open passes over here, Miroslav. But
you see this?
Eric is
already canceled.
Yeah, everyone's already canceled. We don't need him, man. Miroslav, too good. Did you see Miroslav, by the way? He wrote his own intro song. Now he's at the controls. He's running the controls in the comment section.
Is he pulling up comments?
I think, you know what, Vogt? I'm with you. I think he's a little too comfortable.
We got to change the password on the site.
We created a monster, man. Maybe like once a month. Once a week's a lot.
The password is no longer Burek. Change it.
Shh, be quiet on this. Before we get started, we're going to have a fun show today. Later on, somebody new is going to climb, a rookie is going to try to climb the steps. Should be very fun. Vogt made some impossible questions, so I'm sure they won't get very far. We're also going to, this would be a fun one. We tried the tier list last week. People loved it. And by loved it, they criticized it endlessly for how we did it. We're going to try it again. We're going to put all of Tim Conley, since he's in
the question,
every draft pick he has made for the Denver Nuggets, we're going to rank them on the list. S tier, A, B, C, D, E, F, all the way down. Should be very fun. But first, of course, we're going to do Serbian Corner. But before we get there, man, I'll tell you what. So I do Locked On NBA on Fridays. Last night, I'm doing. Yeah, I don't know why you're. Why are you booing me? I guess I did talk about the Celtics, so you could boo me there. Mm-hmm. But in it, I always do a power ranking. And this last one, we did a power ranking of if you were a GM, who would you want to, like, of the number one picks, who would you have felt best with getting?
Brad Stevens.
Well, I'm saying, no, you go from the number one picks over the last decade. So, like, you know, you have, what are we pulling up here? Is this your slideshow? Miroslav.
I didn't want to put it up.
Can we bring up like your resume? And other, yeah. Like, wait,
Miroslav is assuming power over this. Over
I love
this
that
show.
Miroslav yeah. is just oh, hijacked. Frighteningly completely. Don't need me.
This guy.
Yeah, you can go ahead and head home if you want. It's fine. Like, we're good. We got Miroslav. Anyway, we don't need the story. Let's just get right into Serbian Corner. You have a presentation ready for us, Miroslav. What do we got?
Yes. Well, last time we spoke, Brandon was a bit scared about his well-being in Serbia because I've put some sketchy points about it. So this time, to make you feel better, I've made... Where is it? Here it is. Okay, so this week we are talking about life-saving facts about Serbia, of course, for non-casuals. Of course,
perfect.
Also in Comic Sans font.
Man, okay. Arguably the most important of all of the lessons we will get, life-saving facts about Serbia.
Yeah, I like it. Open.
Yeah, this might be a little more important than last week's lesson.
Eric, I need you dialed in here, okay? Don't get us killed.
We are going gradually to more and more important stuff each week.
The worst part, the worst, just FYI, is that when we go to Serbia and I invariably get into a fight, it will be with Adam.
As long as it's not a 70-year-old man. So, okay, here we go.
Let's go deep into the history. First Serbian state was formed in mid-7th century, but that was so long ago, there is no data on the name of their first leader, so... Just that they were led by an unknown knez or prince. So this is the first thing you should know how
this, old this is the classic fact is. That might come up in just a casual conversation at a Serbian job, right.
You gotta be ready
or the market. You know, this is something good to know.
You know, somebody in the bar is like, you know, we know the name of that prince, and I'm like, no, we don't. It's fucking unknown. Next thing. Blows.
Okay, so the first thing a drunken Serbian will tell you in Kafana will be, I have a beer brewer in my hometown that's older than your America. So, you know, that's the stuff. So you just need to know, no, we know how old you are in
mid-7th
century.
What a fun thing to be excited about. That's like always cracks me up. Like, our country goes back before yours.
You're like, yeah, you're like, we just so you know, we haven't made anything new in 2,000 years.
Also, man, I'm 38. Like, that doesn't matter.
Okay, let's go on. The oldest leaders from the 9th century whose names are known now were Vyacheslav, Radoslav, Prosigoy, and Vlastimir. At least that's what Wikipedia tells me.
Not a reliable source that I was taught in school.
Of course.
I realize this is a one segment. We're doing segment one, Serbian Corner. We are now up to the 9th century. It's going to take 4 hours, Miroslav.
Yeah.
History of Serbia, one decade at a time.
I'm going to make quick jumps from now on. Let's go.
I do have a quick question for the professor. How is this going to save my life?
Yeah, you'll see. You'll see. Just stay with me. So Q&A is at the end.
Okay.
So I am now skipping a lot of mostly unknown history and fast forwarding to Stefan Nemanja, the first Veliki Župan or Grand Prefect of the Serbs, who lived in the 12th century. And you can see his photo here that is, you know, what's the word? Remade, you know, in HD. So it looks
like he's got, I'd say like 6'4", 6'6", wingspan, probably a two guard. Yeah.
I know. Plus, really this is, if you look at the drawing I did of the basketball god Nikola, I used ancient religious iconography and imagery to inspire me. You could just easily put Nicholas' head right there.
I will say, I don't think Yoke can grow a beard, so this is strange. His lineage is now questioned.
Yeah, that's right. It's a different part of Serbia. Okay, now we're going to the most important slide so far. Why was this guy so important? Because his brother's name was Stefan Miroslav, who was a lord of Zahovo.
No and, photo available.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there was no photo available of him. Sorry.
Okay. All right.
Are we going to do this like same deep dive with like Canada at some point? For
no.
I hope so.
Why do we love Serbia so much?
Okay. One more historic slide. Somebody who knew how to write back then wrote Miroslavljevo Evangelie, which means Miroslav's Gospel, one of the most important writings of those times, which is now under the protection of UNESCO as one of the only 120 writings of the utmost importance for the history of the civilization. And I'm not trolling, I promise.
All right, Miroslav's Gospel.
I need a rundown of the 120 most important writings of the American civilization. I just need a top 120.
Excellent. Archie Comics, number one.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's like a sporkle of this that you can somehow like guess on. I don't know what they would be, but it's a good one. I like it.
Okay. Now let's go even further to the closer times. Famous Serbs you should know of. Nikola Tesla, born in Smiljan in the Austro-Hungarian
Empire.
Invented
the Tesla.
He invented SpaceX.
Yeah. Brendan, Q&A for the end. Come on, man. The Austro-Hungarian Empire in today's Croatia, son of Orthodox priest Milutin. Tesla made all of his success, including the three-phase alternating current in the USA, in Colorado Springs, to be exact, and is now an electric automobile. So thank you for that, Brendan.
Mm-hmm. You stole his joke, but sure. Yeah.
Damn it. Next one. Mihailo Pupin, born in Idvor, near Pančevo.
Mihailo Pupin?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Also made success in the US, making possible for the telephones to work worldwide. Before the GSM mobile network, Pupin's loading coil was the essential part of every phone call. And nowadays, it's not being used anymore. But until like 50 years ago, it was essential.
I like Tyler Young commenting like this is a snake draft. Damn, y'all got a good one with Tesla.
I was just about with a fire emoji. What an all-time comment.
That's so good.
Y'all got a good one with Tesla, man. Woo!
Flames. Okay, now the big one. Slobodan Ćuk, professor of electrical engineering at the California Institute of Technology, founder of Tesla Co. and inventor of world-famous Ćuk converter. He is not really related to me, but he is, you know. So the reason I had to bring him on here is because, yes, my last name is Ćuk, but also he is an electrical engineer like Voja, like me. So, you know, it's a connection to the DNVR and the whole Serbian corner. So we need
You know this is a sport, though, right? Like, you could have brought up Djokovic or...
Listen,
show about electric. All right, go ahead.
You better draw this picture right now, and I will see next week if you.
When I'm getting taken away by the authorities, I'm just gonna yell out Slobodan Ćuk.
And that's right. That's right. Yeah, because you're.
I'll just be like Pupin.
He was a professor of electrical engineering.
Okay, one more. Novak Djokovic, born in Belgrade, the most dominant tennis player of all time, currently standing at 1,001 wins, 20 Grand Slams, 38 ATP 1000 trophies, 87 titles in total, and 370 weeks at world's number one, 60 more than second-placed Roger Federer. Next week, how to survive in Serbia with only $2 a day using transcendental meditation and non-intermittent fasting. You do know what non-intermittent fasting means,
you
right?
You just eat non-stop?
No, you just don't eat at all.
Oh, okay. That's actually what I've been practicing for the last 2 weeks.
Wow. I'm not going to lie, Miroslav. I am still confused on how that's going to save my life. I can't fathom the circumstances.
It's, probably the type of thing that you just don't know until it happens.
Yeah, that's right.
I do look forward to, though, repeating some of these phrases and facts as my only way, my opening line conversation while I'm out there. I'm just, you guys hear about the Ćuk converter? What was it called?
Yes, Ćuk converter.
Yeah, the Ćuk converter. Very you guys pretty proud of that? You guys pretty jacked up over here about that?
Yeah, nobody in Serbia knows about Ćuk converter. It's just the guys that are studying the power electronics at the electronic faculty. Those guys will know, and nobody
could
else.
Be a conversation starter, though.
You of course.
Eric, good pickup lines for you. No one really knows that guy's name, huh? Is it
very
true? Has anyone figured it out yet?
Or the edition of it. But in all seriousness, let's turn it back now to Nuggets here. Miroslav, I am actually very curious your perspective on this news this week about Tim Connelly and, you know, the chance, you might even say likelihood, that he departs from Denver this year and heads over to Minnesota. When you saw this news, we've kind of given our first reactions, but what's your perspective on it, and what did you think when you first saw it?
First thing, I thought there is no fucking way he's leaving the Nuggets. I thought it was just I don't know. It's a good thing for him because his contract actually ran out, and it's a good thing that he has a second offer just to have a bit more leverage when talking to the Kroenkes, because we know he is underpaid for all of these years. But then, you know, when I saw some other stuff around it, and the fact that Minnesota is really ready to give him a lot of money for it, I mean, just the fact that it wasn't, you know, turned down in the first 24 hours, that makes me think that he might even go to Minnesota and talk to them face to face, maybe. But he did that in Washington, right?
I imagine it's happened already, I would think. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I can say that for certainty, but I kind of feel like these things have already taken place. I wonder, maybe Harrison, you can tell me if you feel differently or heard differently, but I almost feel like the ball is sort of in Denver's court at the moment. Just kind of a, hey, like, what do you think? What are you guys going to do? Like, where are you at on this? That's kind of my understanding.
Well, it's interesting when you just think about the timing and when the report that they were actually in conversations was leaked and actually went out there, because usually when we find out about stuff, we're the last people to find out. You know, like the public is the last people to find out about stuff that's actually going on. So, yeah, I'm with you. I feel like the offer's probably been on the table. He's probably thinking about what he wants to do now, just because that report got put out there 2 days ago.
Right. Right.
And thanks a lot to the state of Colorado to snow in a historically bad way during the time when Tim Connelly is trying to decide his future. Thank you. Appreciate that, Colorado. Really?
I don't think Tim Connelly would care. Like, come on, he's from Baltimore, man. It's not exactly.
I know, but I'm saying, like, if you look outside and the birds are singing and it's beautiful and you're like, I can't leave this place, versus you walk outside and you're like, what the fuck? It's snowing? Like,
man, I got a hard, we could spend too much time on the weather, but hard disagree. We were talking before, like, the cold day that comes in sandwiched in between like three straight weeks of heat, it's great. It's like a nice cool dip into a pool.
That's cool. That puts you into a category of one of one.
I am not alone in this. Hey, Miroslav, you tell me, you enjoy. You have like 12, 13 days of 80 degrees, and then you get the one day where it's rainy and cool. It's like,
okay. Yeah, you get the one day where it snows feet.
Come off it, man. Snows. Are you standing it? Do you shovel your walks today? Come on, man. There's not feet of snow.
But there's a difference between an overcast day where you get some reprieve from the sun and having an historically decimating snowstorm when a guy is trying to make a decision. If you want to stay in Colorado, I'm not going to be moved off of this point.
I don't know if it happened to you too also when you were kids, but we used to have four real seasons in Serbia before. So you have winter, then proper spring, and then summer fall.
Spring, yeah, that's right.
But now we jump right from the winter to the summer in Serbia. So we'll go from... I don't want to translate to...
Right, this is some great podcast material, guys. Holy shit. Can we clip this, Kale? This is what we... I'll put this out on social.
Do you mean clip this as in delete it? Like, remove it from the episode?
Clip it out.
All right, but to get back on track here, the question I'm most interested in, I mean, look, we've shared our perspective. I think Tim Connelly, to me, it would be... things would change if he left. It doesn't necessarily mean that it would be a disaster, but I do feel like disaster becomes on the table. Like, it just opens itself to disaster. It opens itself maybe to an improvement if you get somebody who's just even better somehow. Those things are all possible. But my thing I'm curious is how you feel it maybe changes. And I know it's hard to put yourself in Jokic's perspective, but, you know, it's been a family since he's been here. There's been very few players that have been traded. There's been almost no movement in the key pieces. How do you think it would change maybe his perspective about things to lose such a big piece?
Well, I was kind of joking and also not joking on Twitter when I said that it was really suspicious to me that everybody traveled to Sombor via commercial flight, except for Josh Conkry, who used his PJ to do it. And everybody wants to go on PJ when they can. Private jet, that's just that's the way we speak, the rich people. So,
yeah. Probably a G5, I'm guessing.
yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Two motors and everything. Yeah, but yeah, the thing is, I don't know, man. One thing that Tim Connelly said in Sombor was like, I really hope we'll bring the Larry O'Brien Trophy to Sombor next year or year after that with us, not only these MVPs. And that really feels like a guy that wants to be there for the long haul. And then you get these kind of informations. And I don't know, man. I mean, first of all, I don't want to think about the possibility of Tim Connelly leaving, because that would make Kroenke such cheap ass owners that I just cannot believe it happening after all of the things that have happened. I mean, I could get if they would give him a 1 year extension, but not now, a year ago. No, so he will get one good season with the full roster, which is more fair to evaluate what he's been doing with the Nuggets. But if you would just let him go right now, that's just stupid, because you have no idea what he has built. You have no proof of concept.
You're right, but at the same time, like, there's not a referendum on whether he's done a good job or not. So I don't think it's that the Kroenkes need to see, like, hold on, let me see what he's got. This is a great offer is being presented to him. The question to me is more, do the Kroenkes value him in that way? Because I know they value him, but do they value him in that same way that Minnesota does? And two, maybe they do, but they're just not willing to pay up. And that's the thing that's the big question for this. I don't think this is an issue of the Kroenkes being like, well, we don't know if Tim's our guy. They're just like, he's our guy. I just don't know if he's worth it.
Yeah. And the shitty part about it, we have like five guys they've been targeting, and Tim Connelly is by far the easiest to get. I mean,
to the report, yeah, there was like Presti and there was Bob Myers and Pat Riley, guys that you just assume wouldn't leave. But why do you assume those guys wouldn't leave? Because you assume their organizations, the Warriors, Heat in particular, but I think even Oklahoma City, but especially the Heat and Warriors, you're like, you can't pry them from them. Those are organizations with pride and with owners who care about those types of things. And so that's the part of all this that I think is so tough. And I don't know what Nikola Jokic's mind frame is on these things, but I just, again, I don't think it changes necessarily how he feels about Denver in the short run. I just think that it would opens the door to him feeling different about the team before too long, if things don't go well.
I mean, if Arturas Karnišovas was still here, I would feel much better, you know. Okay, TC is going away, but we still have a guy that's been there from day one, and he knows everything about it. And, you know, it's really unfair to Calvin Booth to put him in such situation to have to be responsible for everything this summer happens. That's just crazy.
And maybe he does a good job, but I like the way you phrased it. It's unfair. Like, it's like one of those things where all of a sudden Calvin doesn't get – I mean, he's put into a spot where it's like, if this thing goes south, it's your fault. Like, yeah, it's all your fault, even though it's not, but it's going to be.
It's not like Calvin Booth is some unknown assistant GM that's going to suddenly like step into the role. I mean, I think in a way, I don't want to say he's been getting groomed for this, because I don't think like Tim Connelly ever envisioned leaving, but he's the GM. Like, he's been in a position where he's had a pretty, like, he's had responsibilities these last couple of years. Like, he's not some guy that they're elevating that nobody's ever heard of or is stepping into like an entirely new role. I mean, he's been the GM for a bit here.
Yeah, but a GM under a Pobo that, right, we know makes those decisions. So he is still relatively inexperienced. And it also just would be Kroenke MO. We found a great guy. He's been priced out of Denver. We could go fishing for another, we know for sure, great guy, or we could take a cheap internal flyer. And that's not, if that sounds like a knock on Calvin, it's not meant to be, only insofar as he's already there. He hasn't done the job on his own yet. And it would just fit the way Denver does things to take that route, as opposed to spending to get an unknown commodity.
I mean, Arturas was a GM under Tim Connelly when he went to Chicago.
That's true. That's a good point.
Was he doing more than Calvin Booth is? I guess we don't really know. But he was definitely ready to be a president when he left here.
Yeah.
But he was for 5 years there, you know, from day one.
The thing about this all the whole Six thing years. Is it's not necessarily about like, is he better than Tim or not? It's that Tim has done a good job. Everybody thinks he's done a good job. Other people think he's done a good job. And if you lose him, it's not because you didn't think he did a good job. It's because you just didn't want to pay for good work.
Right. Like,
and that's the thing. So it's these other things almost don't matter. Miroslav, anything else we need to know before for this week's lesson?
No, not really. Not really. I feel you're really prepared.
Right. Yeah, I feel great. I can't imagine what else I would need to know.
There's literally nothing I can teach you about.
I feel like at a certain point, like maybe after the show, we'll just go through and each one of us will name something we now know about Serbia and see if, as a group, if we know, because I don't feel like I learned any of that.
But I feel like we can get pretty far. I feel like we can get pretty far with the Chuuk converter. Like that
gets
a long runway.
As soon as I heard pooping, I was out. I was distracted. I couldn't focus on any other facts that might save my life.
Miroslav, thank you so much for the education. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the laughs. We appreciate it. And until next week.
See ya.
See you, buddy.
All right, Harrison, take us to break.
All right. I don't know why I get put on this one screen for these breaks, but I just...
It's fun, right?
I'll probably get a little break.
Ivaka TV, guys, if you have not been able to watch Nuggets, Avs, and Rapids games this season, check out Ivaka TV. You can... log on to Ivaka TV, bring up Ivaka TV, go to the literal DNVR channel. Yes, we have a channel on Ivaka TV.
That's right.
Click it and start watching this show. You can watch all our shows. All our pre- and post-game shows are on there. Go to ivaka.tv/DNVR. Watch the DNVR channel there. Just $15 a month for those first 3 months. Use the promo code DNVR. That gives you that discount. It's a $10 discount off your first 3 months. So like I said, those first 3 months are just $15 a month. Plus a receiver, no contracts, no hidden fees. They're not going to hike up the price on you all of a sudden. Go to ivaka.tv/DNVR. They've got Altitude. They got AT&T Sportsnet. You can watch the Rockies this summer. Other national channels as well. ivaka.tv/DNVR. At DraftKings Sportsbook, the NBA playoff action is nonstop. At DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA, this week, new customers can bet just $5 on any team to win. Get $150 in free bets if they do. All customers, doesn't matter if you're new or existing, all customers right now can place a same-game parlay with three or more legs and get a free bet back up to $25 if one leg doesn't hit. So make sure to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR, bet $5 on any NBA team to win their game. Get $150 in free bets if they do. That's promo code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
All righty. Back here. Segment two. What was that vote?
I forgot that I was like leaning in close. I forgot my face would come back.
So in honor of Tim Connelly, clearly his best work has been in the draft. When we talk about building the Nuggets, the Nuggets are a team that have been built through the draft largely. And if not the draft, from low level trades, meaning we'll find a guy at the end of someone else's bench that we like at the draft, and we'll bring him in and develop him there. So I thought it would be fun for us to go through every draft pick he has made, every single one, and put them on our list. So, Kale, please bring up the tiered list here as you get ready to fill this out for us as we go through them line by line.
Should be a tight segment.
Yeah, that graphic just triggers me, man. Like, it's the ultimate trigger.
He's not ready.
Okay. He's trying to fix it, he said.
All right. I'll pull it up. Let me find it over here. We'll go back to 2014 for the very first pick of the we get 2013. Some people are going to say like that trade. Here's the thing. Tim Connelly, not dissimilar to this year, Tim Connelly joined the team at the very last minute. There were orders from above. You're going to trade Rudy Gobert. We're going to get off this, whatever. Like, yeah, I don't count that one. He had nothing to do with it. You really have to go back to the next year, the 2014 year, to get into this. And the first one we have is Gary Harris. What just happened?
You mean we don't want to slot Eric Green onto the tier chart?
Oh, is Eric Green from 2013? We should start with him then. We'll do Eric Green.
He was on the list. He's on the list, yeah.
What's going on?
This is a disaster. This is such a nightmare. Watching this unfold in real time, and I can hear Kale, who just screamed, and then Adam, and then both of them are Adam acting like the graphic is actually on the screen when it's not on the screen. So.
Here, I'm going to share screen here. I have it pulled up, so I'll just do it.
You guys
here.
Do remember our first motto on this show, of course.
F it.
We'll do it live.
We'll do it live. Oh, but I don't.
Oh, there we go.
God damn it. I don't have Eric Green on here, though. Yeah, let's make that up. Eric Green, second round pick. Second round pick's not all that valuable. Not up for it. Where was he taken there, Wynn? 46th.
Yes. 46.
So Eric
the Nuggets Green traded Gobert, or the 27th pick, I should say. Moved back and took Eric Green.
All right, Eric Green, it doesn't matter. I think it's tough when we get to these guys because it's like we're putting them in. There we go. There we have our graphic.
Maybe zoom in a little, if possible.
That is Joffrey LeVern.
What the hell is happening right now? Eric Green, I don't know, D. It's like he's a second-round pick. It's kind of a waste. He wasn't very good, but it's a second-round pick, like 46 picks.
Yeah, like
bad. So, like, what are we doing here? Well, I'm going to give him a D. There was – he was like a scorer. I don't know. We don't need to spend time on Eric Green. Let's just keep it.
Eric Green was a player I had hoped for. Like Eric Green had like promise, and Eric Green was a scorer. He's like in the Marcus Howard school of
yeah,
players
but he
where you're
that
like, not short, but just like a scorer, like a guy that he was like led the ACC in scoring, and like there was a guy that you thought like you always thought he could come off the bench and make a little noise. Yeah. He just never really got an opportunity.
He had 17-7 against the Warriors in 2015.
We'll
get lost to memory. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
If we go to 2014, this is where the Conley era begins in earnest. And you start, of course, with Gary Harris. He was the first one taken, right? Was he ahead of or behind Nurkic? He was. Actually, we start with Nurkic. So Nurkic at 16, unconventional pick. If you recall back to the Nurkic pick, the number one thing that was known about him was that his dad beat up all those people. Do you remember?
Yeah, he was a big, massive cop.
And that he was sort of discovered not too dissimilar from Jokic, and that is what kind of led to Nurkic's discovery. Is it was like, wow, this big ass 7-foot cop, does he have any kids? Turns out he does.
Yes.
In basketball. So Nurkic, a very, very strange pick. And if you look at where he was picked, Adrian Payne was drafted right in front of him, notably just passed away this year. He was shot in Florida. A tragic story, but he was out the league already. Doug McDermott, Alfred Payton, Noah Vonleh, Nick Stauskas. That he got great value. I think this pick was very good. I'm going to go all the way up to B. I think this was a B pick.
Oh, this was an A pick.
I think this is an A pick. Yeah, I would say A.
Yusuf Nurkic, he's fallen on hard times. He got injured. He was the Bosnian beast, the Bosnian bear. Like this guy came in, schooled DeMarcus Cousins, which at the time I loved, but now I look back and I realize I was on the wrong side of history. Yeah.
I mean, but one thing I remember from this draft is Nuggets fans hating these picks because they traded down from 11, where they took Doug McDermott for Chicago. And of course, everybody in Denver like loved Doug McDermott. You can probably guess why. But they hated the Nurkic and Gary Harris trade.
Yeah.
It was just such an unknown. Like I was very tuned in to all things Nuggets at this point in my life. So I remember like vividly, I was at I was in Colorado Springs trying to sell my dirty t-shirt wares. And I was talking to a radio station host down there. And I was like, what do we think of this pick? They're like, Nurkic? Harris, like, what are these guys? We should have gotten Dougie McNuggets, man. Dougie McNuggets.
Jesus Christ, that would have really played well in Denver. He would have definitely gotten a second contract, unearned, but just because he was a fan favorite with the
Nuggets. Yes.
All right, Gary Harris, even better value to me. This is where it's tough, guys. I thought Gary Harris would be an A value pick, but somehow him and Nurkic in the same category. Like Gary Harris was great. He gave a lot of great years. He helped establish the culture, and he was taken, you know, at 15. No, I'm sorry.
19. I would put them both in A. I would feel good about that.
To me, like, this is not a draft pick. Like, these two represent the same move. Like, this was the first time we ever saw Tim Connelly trade back to get more draft picks with a lower draft pick to get two higher draft picks. And both of these guys absolutely hit. These two together represent some of his best draft maneuvering. And to me, it's like, together, this is an S. Each one of these players is an A. But, like, this is when it was like, oh, man, this guy, like,
yeah, we're doing. I like this guy though, for a reason. This is about talent evaluation. So sure. I get what you're saying. The move combined maybe pushes it up, but we're just doing, like, you know, does he?
Yeah, but they're talent? These are both great. Yes, right. These are both A's, great talents.
I would have given Nurkic a B, but all right, we'll go with A. It sounds like you guys are there. And then lastly, in that draft, second round pick, nothing said about him, not a word written or spoken about him until the following season. Weirdly enough, but here we go. Easily an S tier. I would argue. Look, you would have to convince me there has been a better pick in NBA history. It might be above S tier. If there is something above S tier, Jokic at 41 would be in that category.
This is the greatest draft pick in the history of the NBA. 41 to get a two-time MVP of the league at 41.
Absolutely.
You have to go all the way back to when they're like, Spencer Haywood was taken in the sixth round. You're like, what pick was he? Ninth. Hold on. Was 1.5 picks. Like, hold on a second.
Yeah. So, yeah. The only pick that probably rivals it is Giannis.
And it's like, what was it, 13?
It was late lottery, but just because it was such an off the board pick at the time too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if like the Cavs or the Bulls regret drafting LeBron or Michael Jordan either. Just throwing that out there, but I do know pound for pound, I understand what
we're getting. We're talking draft pick, and,
the draft
again,
when one was easy.
When you look, of course, like that's a no brainer. The totality of this draft of that season, these three players that Tim Connelly came away with, it represents, like, this is mastery.
Sure.
It's also funny, and it's a lesson in how you really don't know how to evaluate, especially like coaches and GMs early on. And so many teams just, and the Nuggets did this for 20 years, where it was like a new coach every year, a new GM every 2 years. And this is his first draft. He gets Nurkic, Gary Harris, and Jokic. Everything's already in motion. We just didn't know it at the time, and we actually wouldn't know it for years to come. But if you just go to there, you can see a through line to what the Nuggets became. It's just, and it's so incredible, and I'm so glad he didn't get fired in 2015 or 16 when the team was still bad, which is they were. All right, next year we get into Emmanuel Mudiay. It's funny because he was the guy that was the face of the organization. I'm like, this was the guy they did the campaign around, if you remember him looking over the city. I'm going to sound incendiary. I think this is an F pick. I think the Mudiay pick kind of set Denver – it almost like sent them in the wrong direction for a while. He was that bad of a player. It's tough because you didn't know better. He was in China, this or that. But I honestly think if you just don't draft anyone that year, you might be in a better spot than you are the fact that you drafted.
I don't see how it could be anything but an F. I mean, he was a bust. He was a terrible, terrible pick, terrible player.
The only argument is that other teams probably would have taken him. Like, it's not like Denver was like, let's reach 10 picks for this guy. I'm just playing devil's advocate. I'm not saying it worked out, but like the result was an F for sure.
He was a member of the all rookie team, was he not?
I mean, the only saving grace on the Mudiay pick is if you look at the guys drafted very close to him. Like, this was a very mediocre draft in like after the first pick,
and so Devin Booker. Devin Booker is the guy that stands out because he was taken 13th and he was coming off the bench for Kentucky. It's funny, man. Like, don't you think Devin Booker is a total Tim Connelly pick?
Well, the Nuggets like Devin Booker is the funniest part. But if you just look at the guys picked around Mudiay, Mario Hezonja, 5th, Willie Cauley-Stein, 6th, Stanley Johnson, 8th, Frank Kaminsky, 9th, Justice Winslow, 10th.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then you just a bad year over Jahlil Okafor and Kristaps Porzingis, which aren't exactly like incredible players.
The other thing is that Emmanuel Mudiay fell to the Denver Nuggets. Like, this, when we got him, I was like, hell yeah.
Should we move him up to E?
Yes. I'm saying, like, and we got one good year out of him. Like, he total bust, but you know, like,
what year did we get that was good out of him?
He was a member of the all-rookie team, wasn't he?
See, but this is the thing about the all-rookie thing. Is that was Michael Carter. He played a lot of minutes. They're like, hey, he averaged 14 minutes a game.
So yes, yeah, he had a good year that was not just evaluated by people that were in the Denver Nuggets organization. Like, league-wide, people were like, okay, that's how you get voted to an all-rookie team. Like,
that's revisionist history. But it doesn't matter. We're not going to sit here and litigate it.
No,
and
that's not.
Yes, it is, too. There was no, like, hype around Moutier as, like, this, like, budding superstar at that time. It was, man, he makes some really – can't finish at the rim.
I'm simply making the argument that it's not a complete F. It's just an E.
It's an E. You also got Radicevic in this draft. Is that right? Yeah. Radicevic. Second round pick. This is another flyer. Is that who that is? That is Radicevic, right? Yeah. I'm going to put this as a D again, because once again, it's just a second round pick that didn't matter and it turned out to be nothing. So to me, it's not. It's a bad pick, but it's not. It just costs money.
Yeah. Second round picks are like, what do you want?
He also got hurt shortly after this, and I'm not saying it affected his career, but it is like when you're already a second round, sort of like, hey, we'll see if this works out, and then you get hurt. It's like, okay, he's probably not going to develop the way he was.
So I mean, not going to lie, I was a Radicevic guy in 2015.
Weren't we all?
Yeah, I was a big Radicevic guy.
All right, let's keep it moving. Up next, you get Jamal Murray at 7. Vote, what do you think?
Since we're going Jokic above S, I'm going to put Jamal S.
We can't go Jokic above S. He's got to be S. I mean,
okay, then I'm putting Jamal A. Well, here's the thing, though. Jamal and Nurkic in the same tier is fucking blessed.
I tried to say something.
I agree.
It just means you're wrong about this. It just means you're wrong that he's in an A.
I think relative. I mean, Nurkic and Gary Harris are both taken outside the top 10. Like,
outside the lottery.
Jamal Murray was 7th. Like, I think relatively, I think they're all A's.
I can be on board with that.
Jamal Murray could even be an S.
He's an absolute S. This is going to be a foundational player for the Denver Nuggets for years to come.
So Murray and Jokic are S tier, huh?
Those are great draft picks.
They're the same tier of draft pick.
S tier is just like the highest tier.
We gave ourselves six, seven tiers. Like, let's use them.
They could not have taken a better player at 7 than Jamal Murray in that draft. That's the best they could have done if you look at that draft.
All right.
They couldn't have made a better pick.
Somebody says there's no E tier, which I do feel would make this a lot easier.
That is a fact, actually. Yeah.
So you should just delete the E tier, Kale, and just move the F tier up, and then we'll just have that.
He's doing it live, too.
Comfortably. That's it. There you go. We also forgot Joffrey Laverne, so we can go ahead and do Joffrey now. Another second-round pick, flyer. He came in and gave some minutes. I would actually make him a C. Because again, second round picks don't really matter, and he actually played. So
he was decent too. Joffrey Laverne was a solid player.
He is a solid player.
I'll say C. I mean, he didn't really have a career afterwards, but he was fine. Like, again, it doesn't matter. And unlike Green and Radicevic, he actually played for the Nuggets.
You can make an argument for B, but I won't make that argument.
You honestly could make it because, again, if you get a second rounder that just does anything, like anything,
he was taken 55th overall and. Like, was the Nuggets third big for an entire season? They weren't that good that season.
Let's keep him C. In the same Jamal Murray draft, you then pick up Juancho Hernan Gomez.
C, I'd say.
Really? Even factoring in where he was taken?
He was taken 15th. In a very bad draft, but still.
So right around him, you have Thon Maker, you have Jakob Poeltl, Taurean Prince, Georgia Papagiannis, which is like the F-est of F tiers. Denzel Valentine, you know, not exactly a ton of great. Gershon Yabusele.
There's a couple of tough ones late in the first. Siakam at 27, DeJounte Murray at 29.
Yeah, so there were.
And you had two chances to get one of those guys, really.
You're right. It's C tier. I love my guy Juancho. He did play a lot of minutes, gave us some good ones, but
yeah, and he was an absolute favorite. I mean, it hasn't like really gone well for Juancho since he's moved on from Denver. But had they not been in a situation where they had to pay him, and so they had to move off of it, like I still think he would have been he'd be in the running for Senior Nugget.
Malik Beasley.
Mr. Nugget Senior.
I would give Beasley a B. I honestly think the problem with Beasley is that they didn't handle him properly as an asset. Like
same thing as Wancho. Yeah. Same issue.
No, well Wancho's not as good player. As Beasley.
He's not, but
player. Definitely.
So, but I agree. Yeah, B. I agree.
19th overall. I mean, that's pretty much what they're picking at this year. You know.
Yeah. Who's next on the list there, Wind?
We've got Peter Cornelius.
Second round pick.
Taken in this draft.
Second round pick still playing for the Nuggets as of at portions of this season. Again, second round pick, you can't get a bit too mad. He's like Joffrey LaVerne, maybe a slightly less than Joffrey LaVerne.
No, he's definitely less than Joffrey. He's definitely less than Joffrey. Yeah.
The thing is, these things cost nothing. It's just weird to me, but all right, we'll put him there. It's fine. Let's go into the next year. We got a rough one coming up, guys. Tyler Lydon.
Oh, that bring the E back, dude. This is the biggest F there is.
It's an F, man. It's a no questions barred F. This is the biggest black mark on Tim Conley's resume. You also do get a couple players in that draft though. You get Vlatko Chanchar, who's still here. He's probably a C to me. He's like Wancho. I mean, he's given something to the Nuggets.
He's not good enough, but he's borderline B to me. Like I'm fine with that. Yeah,
49th pick, and he actually played for the team and has had an important role, like albeit a very small one. But I do think that he's been like brought value to the Nuggets over the last two seasons. So
definitely. Agreed.
Monte Morris, A.
Oh, A.
Easy,
yep.
A.
This yep. really could be S, to be honest.
Honestly, could be S. How many guys are you getting at 51? That end up starting for you for an entire season. Because we put Jamal Murray S, it's thrown this whole thing off. But all right, I'm gonna say A. It's easy A.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the guys taken after Monte Morris, I don't know if any of them even like played a game in the NBA. And even the guys taken a couple picks before him, that was an incredible draft
pick. So here's a crazy stat for you. Of course, for win shares, I know that's not perfect, but it does show you how much they've contributed. Monte Morris is sixth in that draft behind Bam Adebayo, Jason Tatum, Jared Allen, Donovan Mitchell, and John Collins. So he passed up. Think about how many guys he passed up.
Yeah, and if you sort by VORP, he's 10th.
That's crazy.
How does he compare to
– love VORP, dude.
Yeah, how does he compare to Bob Cousy? No, the thing is that if you – the draft pick of Monte Morris was so good – that I used it frequently to refute the draft, the Tyler Lydon draft. Right. I just started to refer to it as the Monte Morris draft. And so it's then so it was true. Like,
I'm telling you, man, if you drafted Monte Morris at 13 instead of Donovan Mitchell, people would be like, well, they missed out on Mitchell. They'd be like, yeah, but they got the fifth best player or sixth best player in that draft at 13, which is where they originally were. So to me, it is context, whatever. Michael Porter Jr. Ooh boy. Michael Porter Jr. famously said when he was picked, he wants to be the greatest draft pick that franchise has ever made.
Do we have a TBD category?
Yeah, I know, right? Like, I don't feel comfortable making this determination.
I would probably say B. It's B or A for me, to be honest.
It's S, A, or D, F, depending on what happens.
I think I like B for Wind right now. Like, I would say A at the time of the pick, but the thing you freak out about when you take the pick has reared its head and he's currently not playing. I mean,
right.
Like, but they also for like a several month window there, you're like, holy shit, they got this guy at 14. Like, we have seen the S and the F of this pick already.
Yeah.
And the guy taken right before him is out of the league, too.
It honestly might be an S pick. It might be an F pick. Maybe. The thing about the guy at the top, Harrison, is he doesn't have a max contract. So
But is that
what we're factoring in?
No, you can't. Yeah. You just have to go on.
But consider this: this pick was passed up twice by the Clippers, and it resulted in Doc Rivers getting fired. Like the fact that the team did not pick Michael Porter Jr. became such a blight on that
story.
Yes.
And then he immediately got the thing.
And then he immediately got hurt. Right.
Not happening. Yeah.
Well, but the story is not complete. The TBD.
It's complicated.
All right. Next up, Jared Vanderbilt. You guys are going to be laughing this one. I'm going to go B.
Yeah, I agree.
So late, and now he's a starter on a playoff team. Like, it didn't work out for Denver. You know, Denver, I don't think, managed him as well. But to me, you find a guy that starts for a playoff team in the second round like that, like, that's a great pick. We just didn't see it in Denver, the fruits of it in Denver.
I agree.
I think you could go to A even, but yeah, definitely A or B.
You have to separate in this exercise taking Jared Vanderbilt versus what happened in Denver after that. Did they do a great job with Vanderbilt as an asset? No. Does that change the value of the draft pick in a vacuum? No.
Look at the symmetry of this graphic so far. Now, I'll throw this one to you, Vote. Thomas Welch.
Yeah, it's tough. I think it's objectively here's the thing. Here's the thing. Tyler Lydon was taken in the first round. So we got to put Tom Welch in D. He never played. He's not
the second rounders that didn't play round, basically.
Yeah,
basically,
and that's exactly what he is. He was a really, really late draft pick. And as Wynn said, like, this is where you take you, like, this is where they found Monte, you know, this stage in the draft, and that's an A plus. This is more par for the course. You take a flyer on a guy, and we never hear from him again.
Also, so I think D. Jokic famously liked Thomas Welch, so he gets the Yoke stamp of approval, even though he wasn't that good. All right, Bol Bol with the 44th pick. Ooh, Eric.
I'm going to go – this is tough because the Nuggets didn't even have a pick. They bought this pick. And, I mean, he should be an F. He was such a disaster. He gave us also some of the warmest memories I've ever had watching basketball. Watching Bol Bol go off in the game where I think he was starting as point guard in the bubble was some of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life. Like, I'm going to give him a D. I think he's a D. I mean, obviously, like, it's completely fallen apart with him because his attitude is terrible, but I don't think it was a terrible pick, all things considered.
Well, the one thing I'll say about Bol Bol is, like, if he was Tom Welch, he just would have gotten cut. The fact that he had this, like, tantalizing upside got him a contract that ended up killing Denver. And the same with Michael Porter. Like, the risks, including your own decisional risks that are associated with taking a player like that, should be factored into this one. But that being said, I still gave it a D. It was a second rounder. It did cost Denver that second contract.
I would also say maybe this is very unfair. You know, we know Bol to some extent in a professional capacity. I think these are things that could have been picked up on doing some background and doing interviews with Bol, and in fact, why he was available so late, even more so than that foot injury. So.
Well, I think it was definitely picked up on, but you know.
I know. And it's one of the things that I think the Conley era you probably can learn is it's not just like, I'm sure they knew it was a risk, like, oh, Bol Bol is a risk, whatever. But I think you almost underestimate your own decision risk making. Right. Like, if Bol Bol
every team
it together for 4 months his rookie season, you give him a second contract, you shoot yourself in the foot.
I think every team in the league looks at guys like Bol that have some question marks or red flags on their, like, off the court stuff and goes, let's get him into our building. Let's get him into our culture and we can make good here. Every team thinks that way.
Right. And then the happy birthday video happened and everyone's like, oh man.
It's funny, but the Bol Bol pick really represents, like, kind of what you're saying, just like the willingness of Tim Connelly in the front office to sort of gamble on upside. And the bat, if it doesn't work out, it's the D tier. If it does work out, that is Malik Beasley, that is Michael Porter Jr., that is Jared Vanderbilt. All three of those guys were injured at some point in their collegiate careers or high school careers and were, you know, had big red flags around them. They fell in the draft because of that. And then Tim Connelly has never been shy about being like, okay, well, you know, we've got long-term vision here. So these guys are supremely talented. He always takes flyers on talent, which I really appreciate.
Zeke Nnaji is up next. He's another one that's like a big time TBD, but I still look at Zeke Nnaji and I'm like, I think he's a good pick. I think that's a B pick to me. You know, given where he was drafted at, but it's more TBD than anything, but I'll go B.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely TBD. I'd say B.
Yeah. I guess so. I mean,
he shoots the ball well. Like,
he's not Wancho, I don't think.
So yeah, guys that were taken ahead of him, you've got Kira Lewis Jr.,
It's still such a fresh pick that it's really tough to tell. Even though
he got draft
grades right after the pick is made, but even 2 years in, it's still too early.
Would you guys be more surprised if he's in Minnesota's rotation or making videos with Adam Sandler? You know, like I think he's in Minnesota's rotation. I'm saying he's a Beasley or a Vanderbilt, not a Wancho.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I agree. He's in the B. Yeah,
and then Bones Highland.
Eric,
with a chance to go. Or you think it's more likely? Because again, the more recent the pick, the more we don't. It has movement to it. Do you feel like it's more likely to be an S tier or an F tier, a B tier by the end of next season?
I think it's just likely to always be an A pick. Like I just think that he is. You know, to me, it's like he's the right guy, the right time, the right temperament, the right person, the right skill set. Like it was, and it frankly, like nobody really saw it coming. Harrison was in on Bones. But it was like, you know, it was like kind of, you know, just this guy that could shoot from deep. None of us really saw a fit for him in Denver. It didn't really make sense, but you just get a guy like that in, like a hooper, real hoopers know, but you could just see like what bringing a guy like that into a team setting can mean for the team. Like, and that, I mean, that takes vision, that takes the ability to not just follow the draft board and listen to, you know, what is the position of need, blah, blah, blah. All the things that you're like supposedly looking for when you're drafting players and evaluating them. Like Bones Highland didn't match any of that. And Tim Connelly went for him anyway, cause he's just like awesome. And
The last one we actually skipped over, people reminded us, RJ Hampton. So we can do RJ Hampton as well. Here's what's funny about the RJ Hampton pick. Orlando RJ Hampton kind of sucks. Denver RJ Hampton was interesting. And I honestly wonder when we talk about the draft, I honestly wonder how much of it is the pick and the identification and how much of it is the system and development. I think RJ Hampton is better than what he showed in Orlando, but he's probably worse than what we thought when he was in Denver.
He had a pretty interesting year this year. Got up to 35% from three. Played 22
I would give him a C because he cost. Remember, he cost a first round pick to get right, but then he also functions as your first round pick in acquiring Aaron Gordon. And I know we're just looking at the pick, but this isn't such a short window. You draft a guy, develop him to some extent, get him on the court, and he looks good enough that he fetches you a desirable piece. I mean, like that's a good outcome for a late first round pick. But then you have to factor in that he cost an additional one.
Yeah.
C when I do the fake math on that, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
I'm good with it too. I think that sounds about right. So looking at this, here's what's interesting. Two S tier, like I don't know how many teams would have S tier picks, two of them over the last 7 years. You know, if you get a couple number one picks and you nail them, like you can look at Boston, Jalen Green and Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum probably an A pick, especially when you consider it was third. Are an S tier pick, I mean.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Jalen.
Who says you?
Jalen Brown, I think you look at and go, could be S tier, could be A tier. It's one of those two, though. It's really high up there. So I don't know. There's maybe a few teams out there, but I don't think there's very many that have two that you would say S tier. And I definitely don't think there's going to be six that are S tier.
Definitely not the Phoenix Suns. They don't have two that are S tier.
I love that.
I feel good about, like, I got to say, just one the last time we did this, like looking at the total picture, like yeah, I would tweet that out. I would stand behind this one.
Well, and then the thing is, when you go down to the D and F tier, you've got Moody and Leiden, obviously big mistakes. But then the rest of it is just second round picks that are like, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't matter. Like
you miss on those. Like every GM, I saw I see Mo Ron, nice name. Is like sort of pointing out all the misses in each draft. And like, you can do this with every GM. Yeah, you will find a row of D's that could have been a Monte, right? And Denver was also the team that found their Montes and so on.
Right. Yeah, but exactly. Just look at all these draft picks and to really only have two that were bona fide busts, two out of all of these, like that's pretty incredible of a draft record. To have this many S's, this many A's, this many B's, and only two guys that you can definitively call busts is pretty impressive.
I think the other part of this, too, is that B tier, like it's a bunch of players that might move up. I mean, Michael Porter really well might be an A. You know, Malik Beasley is a really good player for a team that got a big contract. Like, he actually is an A, just wasn't an A for Denver. Jared Vanderbilt, Zeke Nagy, a little bit TBD on Zeke, but that beat here is the one that more likely to move up than down to me.
And this is a great comment from 55555-ish, who says, you know, like, you got to consider where these picks came to. I mean, obviously, that's the context in how we graded this, but when you just think of the totality of, like, okay, you look at this board, here's everything he's gotten. This is not a guy who had a luxury of dipping into top seven picks over and over again. And yeah. I think you look at the final result and, I mean, look, we can talk about this all day, but a division rival just labeled him a top five exec, and this is a big, big part of the reason why.
Yeah. I think my board looks with Murray in the A tier, Nurkic in the B tier, but, you know, each their own. Let's take a break. On the other side, we're going to have Jacob McQueen join us and try to climb the most impossible steps you can imagine. Curated. So good luck, Jacob. You're about to fail.
Guys, make sure to pick up some Breckenridge Brewery. Breck Brew is the official beer of DNVR. They've got seltzers now. They've had them for a while. If you haven't tried one, what are you doing? You're late.
What are you doing?
Check out the Breck Brew seltzers. I would recommend the peach. I think it's the best flavor. We've got them in the bar. If you're in the area, stop in corner Colfax and York. We got Breck Brew seltzers chilling. If you're not in the area, that's okay. Find some Breck Brew wherever you are. Hit up the Breck Brew Beer Locator on their website. It'll tell you where to get Breck Brew, the official beer of DNVR, wherever you are. So make sure to check out some Breck Brew seltzers ASAP, as soon as possible. Also, at Lightshade Dispensary right now, you guys can pick up some Ripple. Ripple is a fast-acting dissolvable, clinically proven to hit two times faster than the leading gummy. Ripple starts absorbing within 10 minutes, so you can depend on a consistent experience every single time. With Ripple dissolvables, you can make anything edible or anything inedible, flavorless dissolvable powders. Ripple Quick Sticks are also the most convenient way to get the fastest THC. Just pour it on your tongue. Colorado's premier dispensary, Lightshade, with 11 convenient Denver Metro and Aurora locations. That's where you can find Ripple. The Barnum location, one block off 6th and Federal, is now open as well. You guys, drop the code DNVR. You're going to get 25% off non-sale items with that code. Use the code DNVR. Get 25% off non-sale items. You can shop online or you can pick up at a Lightshade location near you.
All righty, perfect. Let's now welcome in our next victim, guest, to attempt to climb the steps. We have Jacob here. Jacob, you got to turn your camera. Did he check out? Oh, my
God. No, I'm here. I'm at work. I can't turn on my camera.
We respect that, Jacob.
All right, if that's what it takes.
I don't want to see your reaction when you hear question six anyway, so it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I looked up 30 Denver Nuggets trivia questions, but now I'm not too confident.
Vogt didn't look up any when he wrote these. These are out of pocket.
Oh, word. Nice.
All right, Vogt, go ahead. Take him through the gauntlet. Get it? What are we doing?
Yes, gauntlet.
The steps, right?
I'd say it's gauntlet.
I would call it the steps. Okay, I've got a nice and easy one for you to get you started here, brother. The people want to know which Denver Nugget just won back-to-back MVP awards. Not a
Nikola
trick question.
Jokic.
That is correct. Very good.
That's so
very well. Dude, lost on that.
Do we not have this stressful music? What are the steps without the music? What is this?
Yeah, where did it go? What happened to our that software? I think I still pay for. All right, here we go. Question number two.
Yeah, Kale doesn't have a mic yet. So, question number two. This one gets a lot harder for no reason, but you might know.
What is this music?
Where is Michael
Malone? I tried some.
From?
It didn't work. I'm sorry.
Jacob, do you need the city or just the state?
Just the city. So I know you know, brother.
The city? Oh.
Well, you can do the state if you want. It's the city. You're gonna.
It's from New York, right?
That is correct. He's from New York
City. No,
he's
from Queens. Let's go.
Let's move along. Who were the two-way players on the roster at the end of the season?
Devon Reed and Marcus Howard.
That is correct.
Let's
go.
Judges
accept it. Got technically, it. The correct answer is Marcus Howard, but we'll accept it.
My man's plowing through these steps.
Jacob, question number four. Which Denver Nugget had an arena named after them this season?
Facundo Campazzo.
That's my guy.
That's a great one.
Thank you for using the proper name.
Is this for sticker packs? How does this work?
Yeah, sticker pack right here.
Yeah. All right.
Do you still have a sticker pack, Eric?
Not one that we can sell. So we'll send it to him on the sly.
I don't tell anybody that we're sending it to him.
Well, if you get to 10, you'll get a shirt. Let's go to question 5. Let's see how closely you're paying attention today. Name one of the two, or two if you have them both, hosts of Serbian Corner on the DNVR Nuggets podcast channel.
Oh, well, Miroslav.
That'll work.
That's enough. Voya gets no play on this show. Like, you got to show up if you want to be answered as a question on this show.
Voya's a Celtics fan, so okay.
That's not true.
It is true. Question number 6. Really? What team did Facu Campazzo play for in Europe before coming to the Denver Nuggets?
I don't know any of those international teams. Madrid.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
He lands the Hail Mary.
Let's go.
He is from Real Madrid.
Real Madrid.
They're giving him credit for Madrid.
I mean, that counts. That counts. I mean, come on.
What's the other Madrid?
Fake Madrid?
I guess. All right. Question number 7. What was Nikola Jokic's season high in assists this past season?
Oh, man.
Yes.
18.
That is incorrect. Get us
Get the hell out of here. What? Unbelievable.
Get out of here.
We knew that there was no chance that any human being was good. That came up with the pre amble to the show where we were kind of going through the questions. All of us got it wrong.
Pre-show
No one was right.
So good job, both, because we really don't want to have to give away free shirts.
Yeah,
very good. Job. I got you. I understand this assignment.
Just know that nobody stores like an arbitrary number in their head about a thing a guy did one time this season. Well, just for
the
future
thing
reference.
About numbers, Eric, is you can at least guess.
So. That is true. That is a great point.
Wow. The thing about anything is you can just guess.
I don't know. Guys, thank you so much for this train wreck of a casual Friday. The most casual and off the rails right from the get-go. We promise to be better. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your snow day. And we will be back again on Monday. We're starting a new series next Monday. So we should have some new shows that really get us ready for the draft, free agency, all that kind of stuff. I'm excited about it. Harrison's put in some legwork. So we'll be back next week. Get some rest in, everybody.
Let's go.